Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast alongside WGNRadio.com's Scott King. I'm Chris Bowden, your Blackhawks pre and post host here on 720 WGN. As we come to you from the United Center, this is our first postseason edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast as we are high above the United Center in our usual radio booth, and we look down, Scott, and we see the Bulls court down there. It's that court's not going to be down there for very long either, so it's going to be a very long off season here at the United Center, starting with the Blackhawks, who went through their exit interviews today. There are also their exit interviews here with the media. And are there one or two things in particular that stood out to you from what you heard from Bowman, Quenneville, and all the guys today?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the same sentiments that were said all season. We talked about before how the issues were there. We knew for a while they weren't going to make the playoffs for a long time. So we did see a lot of these issues kind of remain for a lot of the season, but I think it was interesting to actually hear them address it in its entirety. I think Seabrook in particular, him talking about, you know, that he does just have to get faster. And he really, when he said it to me, he kind of seemed like he was predetermined to do that, and maybe he already has some kind of planned or training regimen in place. So, I mean, that's got to be good for fans to hear. I thought it was really interesting when Duncan Keith kind of admitted that the defense, yeah, they did play differently without Crawford in that. You have so much you can rely on with Corey Crawford playing behind you. I thought that was really interesting. And we got a couple guys we know playing for Team USA and Worlds. You got Kane, Murphy, and DeBrincat, and Schmaltz is considering it. I think those were a lot of the interesting tidbits. And I know Stan Bowman and Quenneville expected more of the team this year, and even though there's a lot of things that they said were out of their control, and they expected more of themselves.
And we'll get to Corey Crawford in a bit, as well as Stan Bowman's plans for free agency and whatnot. But let's start with Jonathan Toews. He missed the final eight games of the season just as he appeared his game was coming along over the course of the last month or so prior to his sitting out. And we've heard repeatedly for quite some time now, and most recently from President and CEO John McDonough as he was addressing the media last week, confirming that Stan and Joel will be back in their respective roles, him calling out the top players. It wasn't necessarily a calling out, but it was part of the key ingredients into why this team underachieved this year. So obviously the core players who have done so much for this team, the Toews, not so much Kane as others, I think, but Brandon Saad and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook not playing up to their capabilities or the bars that they have previously set. So let's hear Jonathan Toews' reaction when he was asked about, you know, the core players being specifically cited by John McDonough, and through the course of the offseason when we had a chance to talk to him as well, Stan Bowman, Joel Quenneville, his reaction to that assessment from some of his bosses.
You know, messages received. I think we all take it upon ourselves not only to be better individuals, better players, and improve our games, but also to bring that leadership aspect that we constantly need to work on. I think those years when things went well, we won Stanley Cups, we had playoff success, everything's just seemed to fall into place and it happened organically and naturally to a certain degree. And now it just seems there's a lot of issues that are coming up that you need to find solutions. And as I mentioned, I think part of that is just keeping it simple and getting back to what made you a great player to begin with.
So there's Jonathan Toews, and obviously these guys are wearing it, and they realize, despite all that they have accomplished with this group, that they have to be better. They have to find a way to be better. You mentioned what Brent Seabrook's trying to do. I think that he already started to do that during the course of the season in terms of his training. But now we sit and wait to see when they come back. We're not going to know until the games start back up until October, unfortunately, whether these guys do specifically get their games back. And I'll let you react to that. And when I come back, after you're done, I'm going to cite some examples of guys in the 30 years old range, perhaps even a little bit older, who have really had bounce back seasons. And, you know, I know Jonathan was particularly pointed out about Anjay Kopitar, which we'll get to in a moment. But, you know, now it's a factor where these guys have had now three consecutive fairly long off seasons. This one will be the longest after two first round exits, trying to change things up differently to adapt their game into what is a very different NHL game right now compared to their glory years.
I really like the beginning of the Taves clip. We responded to what Bowman said. Message received. Like, these guys already knew. They already knew what the issues were. Like I said before, and they knew they needed to be faster and adjust to how the league's going. And look, the league is just playing the Blackhawks style, and just in doing that, there's a lot of naturally younger players now. So it's just even more speedy, and they're controlling the puck even more than the Hawks are doing. And I think you raise a good point, Chris. I think Seabrook did look lighter as the season went on. I thought, you know, he had a strong finish to his season. He was one of the core guys that needed to play better overall for the duration of the season, for most of the season. But it looked like he dropped a few pounds as things are going along here. So whatever he is doing, he's going to continue to do it or amp it up. And, you know, you should expect these guys to, if not have bounce back seasons next season, to try really hard to do so.
And here are some of the examples, and I even use these on the post game show as we wrap things up with Troy and John the other night. Patrice Bergeron, 32 years old. He had 21 goals last year. He has bounced back with a 30-plus goal, 60-plus point season in only 63 or 64 games because he was even out a while. We mentioned Kopitar and his teammate Dustin Brown. Andrei Kopitar is 30. He had a 12-goal, 52-point season last year, improved that to 35 goals and 92 points. Dustin Brown, a lot of people were writing him off. Brown is will be 33 years old if he isn't already. 14 goals last year. He raises that to 28 this year. Eric Staal had himself an excellent season a year ago. He even raised that bar from 28 to 42 goals this year up in Minnesota. Claude Giroux, same way. 14 goals, 58 points for Philadelphia a year ago. 34 goals, 102 points this year. He's 30 years old. And even a guy like Blake Wheeler as well, who had excellent seasons, but he raised the bar to a career high 90-plus points this season. He will turn 32 over the summer. So if all these other players have done that and are capable of doing that, now we wait to see if the Blackhawks core players can respond in a similar way. The caveat to all this, yes, all these guys have various degrees of quality players around them too. Do the Blackhawks have the same? They probably also, and Dolly, I haven't looked it up, have much better power plays than the Blackhawks had. That factors into production as well. But here are a number of examples where guys around the same age here have been able to elevate their game, and now it's up to, you know, these Blackhawks core guys to find the same thing this offseason and make next year better than this year was.
They can bounce back. They're older, but they're not too old. We heard a lot of the veterans talk about that. I'm sure they're tired of either reading about it or hearing us ask them about it, that they've lost a step, that the league is getting younger. But I think that they're in that range where they can all have bounce back seasons. You know, mathematically, they're not all going to, you know, not entirely, but they should be much better.
And we even asked Patrick Sharp about that as well as he exits here and gets a sense of how different the league is now compared to not only when he came to the Blackhawks in 2005, but when the Blackhawks were winning their cups, especially 2010. Scott, you mentioned that they set the bar with their style of play, and it was up to the rest of the league to catch up. And now, to a certain degree, the league has passed them by, and now it's up to the players, Joel Quenneville and his staff, to adjust that way. And here's Patrick Sharp with some of his thoughts as well on whether these guys that he's played with for so long and who have accomplished so much are going to be able to adapt to the modern game in order to bring this team back to where it should be.
Yeah, I guess it's a tricky situation when you look back at those cup teams and those great years that we had as a group. You know, the game does change from year to year, so you don't want to sound like an old man or a dinosaur and say, "Well, when we did it this way." You gotta adapt. You gotta adjust to the league changing. It's certainly you see the speed out there. I don't know if it. I mean, I can feel it out there on the ice. That the transition, the guys, the way that players carry the puck with speed is different. So, as a team, as an individual player, you want to adapt. You want to it's a fine balance. You know, you want to remember what made you a good player, and you want to try to capture that, but at the same time, you know, look ahead and see what's coming down the road.
Interesting thoughts there from the now departing Patrick Sharp after an outstanding NHL career, primarily here with the Blackhawks. So how else did the Blackhawks fix these things? Well, Stan Bowman was asked about free agency. He's going to have a little bit more salary cap flexibility. He can get even more cap flexibility depending on what he does with Marian Hossa, who, by the way, he said he is not expecting to play next year with no change in his status. So a little more salary cap flexibility, even though a lot of it is tied up with some of these core players and guys who have been around a while. If a cap goes up to 80, 82, or 78 to 82 million, it was at 75 million this year. I think he has about 68 to 70 million in commitments and projected commitments with some of the guys that he's going to have to sign. So here's Stan Bowman's thoughts on whether he can go out and shop this year, and keeping in mind, as he explains, where the priorities also lie with where the Hawks will be a year from now.
It's looking better for the potential to make some moves. And I think, you know, we're going to examine everything. We're going to look long and hard at ways to improve our team through personnel. I guess I want to make it clear that our number one priority as we move forward is to make sure that we can keep these young players, DeBrincat and Schmaltz and Hinostroza and some other young players that are, you know, maybe going to join our team over the next year or two. That's the direction that we're headed, and we want those guys to be Blackhawks and to take a bigger role. So knowing that that's on the horizon, you have to be prudent with what you do with your money this summer.
So there's the Blackhawks vice president and general manager on the cap situation. And, you know, he's right. If there's a lot of promise for some of these younger players, Dylan Sakura will need a new contract a year from now. Same for Nick Schmaltz. You know, John Hayden's restricted right now. Vinny Hinostroza's restricted. Do you want to sign a long-term deal or something short-term to see if they can maintain their play? So going out and getting John Carlson, I don't think is going to happen. He's going to have to think a little bit smaller here in terms of effective players that he could add to the guys he has on his roster right now, because he already has a whole lot of commitments with some of the players that he has signed. I think a little bit of shopping, but I don't think it's going to be splurge shopping come July 1st.
I agree. A little bit, definitely. You still want a top four defenseman. If you can get one from another team, make a trade happen somehow. We heard Stan Bowman talk about Henry Yokoharu, and he liked Blake Hillman. Yokoharu, 19 years old, and it sounds like from what Stan said, you probably heard this too, Chris, is that he's going to have every opportunity to make the team, to prove that, you know, at his young age, he is ready in camp. And I think he talked a lot about his game, his complete game. And I think the organization is already really high on him, and I think they liked what they saw from Blake Hillman too this season.
Yeah, and the caveat with all that is, yeah, you bring in the young players, but there's also going to be growing pains. We even saw that this season with the likes of guys getting their first real taste of NHL experience. Jordan Osterley would flash, and then there would be, you know, some not so good play from him.
What are the chances we see the Sakura brothers in action for the, I mean, do we see them both in action next year in a Hawks sweater?
Well, yeah, and Tyler's been a big factor in Rockford's success this season. We heard Stan Bowman saying that's something that they've really been happy with, the Rockford success. So I would imagine they're going to at least be in the same camp.
Yeah, you know, Tyler?
He has 20 plus goals this season for Rockford. You know, what his ceiling is from an NHL standpoint, I don't know. But you know, with some of these young players, you have to judge whether you want to throw them in the mix, go through some growing pains. You know, it would be great to see Henry Yokoharu perhaps ready to start the season with his offensive upside next year. But, you know, there's going to be some mistakes on the other end of things. I started to say, like Osterley, like we saw with Jan Ruta this season, some good, some bad, like we've seen from Eric Gustafson as well. Those guys are locked in. Same for Connor Murphy, too. Those guys are going to be locked in, and unless they're utilized in trades, the more you infuse some young talent, yeah, it's great to get them some experience, but if there's an urgency level to winning next year too, you kind of have to balance that, and that can get a little bit tricky.
Yeah, I think the youth movement's not over here. I think there's a lot of high hopes with Yokoharu, but I also think fans got a little spoiled with the high hopes and the way Alex DeBrincat delivered and leading the team in goals. He had, I mean, he's probably the most hyped prospect since, gosh, who would you compare him to, Chris? going back to maybe Teravainen?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's a good call. And we've all seen what Tavo's been up to, even though this is a different position for him.
He's still growing as a player.
Yeah. And physically too. Right.
But some facial hair now.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see a guy with the offensive upside, something that the Blackhawks need, like Jokiharju, grab the bull by the horns. But then, again, how much are you giving up on the other end? And granted, there were way too many mistakes, as Duncan Keith acknowledged and Brent Seabrook acknowledged and Joel Quenneville acknowledged in what was going on the other end of things. And that leads us into, you mentioned the one snippet from Duncan Keith, the one thought from him about, you know, how it does affect the defense when you don't have your number one guy back there. So Corey Crawford did not play since December 23rd. And first of all, let's get to the Crawford situation before we hear from Stan Bowman on the backups. Here's Joel on his confidence level that Corey will be ready to go in September.
He's on the right track. He's close to being ready to go. Several more months now to prepare for the season, and knowing that that ingredient to our team is certainly a big piece to our success and our team as well. We look forward to that being in place and Crow ready to be a part of it.
And we can only hope that the narrative that has been coming from the people in charge here, Joel, Stan, John McDonough as well, that confidence that Corey Crawford will be ready. You heard Joel just say that he believes he's close right now to being ready to get back on the ice. But when you look at the guys who have filled in this season, particularly Glass, Forsberg, and Berube, here are the combined numbers for them. Record 16-29-8. Goals against average, 3.24. Save percentage, 9.02. And starters were pulled a combined 8 times, 7 of those since Corey Crawford went down for the season for good. So you have to hope that Corey Crawford's ready for the season, and you also have to hope he's not only ready, but he can pick up where he left off and that he was the same goaltender he was, not necessarily the last game against New Jersey that he played, because he got pulled in that game, but for the body of work that he had in terms of top 5 goals against average and top 5 save percentage that covered up a lot of the blemishes this team had before he went out for the season.
Yeah, no, definitely. I remember thinking early in the season, too, even when Crawford was here and in net, that this team was in trouble the way they were playing, specifically the defense. So I remember, I think it was on TV a little bit after he got taken out, and they had some other goalies, and it became the revolving door that it was, that I said it didn't really matter because who was in net, because the team was playing so poorly. So certainly he masks a lot of the things that are going wrong when he's there, and you really find out still how undervalued he is and his contributions are, and they were in those cup runs. But I still think that they just had so many issues this year that even if he was in net and healthy all season and standing on his head like he tends to do, that they still might not have made the playoffs. You just don't know. They need to fix a lot more than just getting one of the best goalies in the league back.
Yeah, and when he was sidelined, the Blackhawks were in ninth place in the Western Conference. So that says a whole lot. But by the same token, this team was still right there through January, through that win in Nashville, that 2-1 win in Nashville. They were sitting at 24-19-7. That's competitive right about where everybody else was at the time, or at least you were at least knocking at the door. And then, unfortunately, someone kicked the door down, namely just about every Blackhawks opponent, when they were able to play the Hawks. And it was a combination of lack of production, lack of scoring, lack of big-time goaltending when you needed it, and lack of solid play around those backup goaltendies who were forced to take the reins. And here's an final clip here, Stan Bowman talking about the possibility of whether, based on those numbers that I just passed along a couple of moments ago, the combined numbers of Glass, Berube, and Forsberg, whether he needs to shop for a new backup goaltender this offseason.
That's a possibility, whether it's bringing in someone else. We haven't made that determination yet. We'll look at the different options. I think it's our job to explore those over the coming months to see if there's something else out there. But if they are back, I do think that they showed that they were on the right path. It was just a lot to handle, for them this season.
So there you have it, Stan, kind of in a way defending that these guys weren't ready to take on a number one role. That wasn't the expectation going into the season. But, you know, in another sense, you almost have to prepare for worst case scenarios. Anton Forsberg wasn't ready for it. Neither was J.F. Berube nor Jeff Glass. So that leads into the question whether he does go backup goalie shopping. And if he does that via free agency, could also do it by a trade, but via free agency, that then dips into your available pool of money that you have available in the salary cap this summer. And looking at some of the names from an unrestricted standpoint, Kari Lehtinen didn't play very well down the stretch for Dallas. He's had good seasons in the past. That was not the case. Yaroslav Halak, who got bombarded in Brooklyn for the Islanders as he kind of split time there with Thomas Greiss. Then kind of an interesting name is Cam Ward. He's won a Stanley Cup. He came to the rescue when Scott Darling didn't perform as the Hurricanes had hoped. He actually took the bulk of the starting time as the Hurricanes were trying to push into the playoffs, but they fell short. How comfortable the Carolina Hurricanes feel about leaving Scott Darling, you know, as the number one, and who their backup will be? What price will Cam Ward require? And there are certainly other teams out there looking for a new starting goalie. Would he accept a backup role here in Chicago? A couple of the restricted names: Robin Lehner of the Buffalo Sabres, Peter Mrazek, who was just basically Peter Mrazek when Detroit traded him to Philadelphia. Great for a couple stretch of games, and then not so great for others. Again, there are other guys under contract that Stan could presumably pursue through a trade, but I find it at least interesting that, you know, while he did come to the defense of the three guys that he had this year, he's certainly opening himself up to the possibility that backup goalie role needs to be stronger next season, no matter who takes it.
Yeah, whether he gets somebody or not, your best case scenario is Crawford comes back. He at least resembles himself a little bit.
60 to 65 games, you hope.
Yeah, and you hope he regains his form at some point. It's not going to be right away, even if he has a good camp. But I think you have to realize that whoever's a backup, they're probably and hopefully not going to have this type of season where there's so much craziness and adversity to face across the board. You want to feel bad for the backups this year and say it wasn't fair. You know, even though they're professional goalies and they're going to want ice time at the highest level and they should be ready for it, it almost wasn't fair, everything that they had to deal with and to face. So I think it's going to be a more normal season for a lot of people next year.
Yeah, you can only hope it, especially from that goalie position as well, and more normal from some of the numbers that we're used to seeing from the core guys that we talked about a little bit earlier, and growth from some of these younger players as well. There's a whole lot more we can get into and a whole lot more we can play, and I'm sure we'll do that at various points during the summer here, as we'll still join you on the Blackhawks Crazy podcast here. Real quick, a Blackhawks postseason without the Blackhawks. The matchups are now set. Are there anyone you're particularly looking forward to watching in this first round, and are you sniffing an upset anywhere as well, too?
Yeah, I do think Vegas can get past the first round.
That's exactly the same. They can get past, or they can?
I think so, yeah.
I think they're vulnerable from the standpoint is they're playing the LA Kings, who have been inconsistent even down the stretch, but the LA Kings have also proven that they can beat Vegas, which I think only won 5 of their final 11. So I think they're vulnerable, but by the same token, if they can get back to the way they were playing during the regular season, I'm interested to see how far they can go.
You sound like a betting man right now.
No wagering involved. But yeah, I don't see Minnesota without Suter. It's going to be tough for them to get past Winnipeg.
I like Winnipeg a lot this year. Yeah. I think you still see Nashville in the Western Conference with how they look last year and this year. But I like the Jets a lot. I like their offense a lot. They've had solid goaltending. That's a team to watch out for. In the East, I think it's going to be Tampa. I don't see the Bruins or anyone else really being able to get past Tampa, and I think Tampa walks away with the Cup this year.
Really? Because, I think those three teams in the East in particular, unless someone gets hot like Nashville did last year, you wonder if Pittsburgh can go as deep as they were, especially playing Philadelphia in the first round.
It's hard to win 2 Cups. Can you imagine a team in the salary cap winning 3 Cups in a row?
It's never been, it hasn't been done.
No.
So we just have to imagine it. Boston They had that opportunity to capture the Atlantic Division title, and then they lose at home to Florida on Sunday. They weren't able to close the deal. I still think there's a ton of talent on that team, despite how young they are. And, you know, they had some real competitive games with Tampa. Boston now has to play Toronto in the first round, which you'd think is a tougher matchup than what, you know, Tampa Bay has in the first round with New Jersey. But, I think it's going to be awfully competitive these first few rounds, and especially for some of these younger teams getting a taste of what playoff hockey is like for the first time. It's a different animal. So, I don't know who to take in the East right now, especially among those three teams in Tampa and Boston, and interested to see what Pittsburgh can do.
Yeah, I think Boston is still really tough. And with the NHL, I think the playoffs, you just got to get there. I don't think you're going to have to face the toughest teams at some point, regardless, and try to get hot. So I think it's just crawling your way in there, which unfortunately the Blackhawks couldn't do this season.
So that's a wrap on the first postseason edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, as they work on the basketball floor downstairs, as the Bulls only have a week of themselves to go here in the regular season. And unfortunately, the ice has been melted downstairs.
Very symbolic.
Yes, exactly. So can't give you an exact date when we'll be with you next, but we'll be checking in every cup.
Free agent frenzy podcast might be our next one.
Yeah,
or maybe around there sometime.
Maybe we can sneak in something else with some of this other material, gads and gobs of material that we got here, with virtually every player who is still up here talking. Maybe we can get a little fresher version as the playoffs go on, perhaps leading up to the draft as well. But we will keep you posted. Follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea blogger blog. Follow me and Scott on Twitter at Bowden Tweets for myself, at Scott King Media for Scott. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. So fresh off the regular season, an all too shortened regular season without any fun stuff in the playoffs this season, we'll be back at you probably within a couple weeks time, and we'll tweet things out. And again, if you subscribe, you'll get these podcasts immediately however you get them. So for Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden from a quiet United Center with the basketball floor down. That's a wrap. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy your spring if it ever comes.